And in Ezekiel 2, we saw the last couple weeks that it relates very strongly to Revelation 11, where the two witnesses were dead in the street and then they rise and stand upon their feet. And we've come down in chapter 2 of Ezekiel to verse 9. Is this giving a lot of feedback? Maybe I should try the other microphone here. It sounds like it. I normally have it higher than that. Sounds like there might be something wrong with the system. Okay. All right. In verse 9 of Ezekiel 2, "And when I looked, and behold, a hand was sent unto me, and lo, a roll of a book was therein. And he spread it before me, and it was written within and without. And there was written therein lamentations and mourning and woe." And I'm just going to go into chapter 3 and read a few verses there. "Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, eat that thou findest, eat this roll, and go speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll. And he said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then did I eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. And he said unto me, Son of man, go get thee unto the house of Israel, and speak with my words unto them." So it's the same command that God has been given throughout chapter 2, where he is sending Ezekiel, who is representing all believers, to the house of Israel. And we saw that this relates to the command of God to all those that have come out of the churches and congregations. This is partially what it means to stand upon your feet when the Spirit of life from God enters into you. We are sent to the church with the message that the judgment of God is upon the churches and in the congregations. Well, let's look a little bit closer at what we find in verse 9 and the rest of the verses there. As it says, "A hand was sent unto me, and lo, a roll of a book was therein." Now, it's kind of a mysterious hand that just appears, and it's a vision that Ezekiel is seeing, and suddenly he just sees this form of a hand, and there's a roll of a book in the hand, and it reminds us of the book of Daniel. Remember in the book of Daniel when that mysterious hand appeared upon the wall and wrote some writings upon the wall that greatly troubled the king of the Babylonians, Belshazzar. And here again, we find this hand that just appears and there's a roll of a book within. But we can identify whose hand this is in Revelation chapter 10. In Revelation 10, verse 8, we'll see that it's the same picture. "And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, Go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth." It's the exact same picture. We have an angel with a little book in his hand, just as we find in Ezekiel chapter 2. But if we go a little earlier in Revelation 10, we find out who the angel is in verse 1. "And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire, and he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot on the earth." There is that angel with the little book in his hand, and who is it? Who is clothed? As it says here, with a cloud and a rainbow upon his head and his face is the sun. That's a description of Jesus Christ. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He is this mighty angel who the roll of a book is in his hand. And since it's the exact same picture, when we read in Ezekiel 2 verse 9, "Behold, a hand was sent unto me, and lo, a roll of a book was therein," that's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is making an appearance to the prophet Ezekiel, and he's revealing himself in the form of this hand with a roll of a book therein. Now, what would be in that roll of a book? What does that roll represent? What is it standing for? Well, let's turn to Jeremiah 36, and in the first couple of verses of that chapter, it says in verse 1 of Jeremiah 36, "And it came to pass in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that this word came unto Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Take thee a roll of a book, and write therein all the words that I have spoken unto thee against Israel and against Judah, and against all the nations from the day I spake unto thee, from the days of Josiah even unto this day." You see, the roll of a book, it's a scroll that a prophet would use as Jeremiah dictated to Barak the scribe. Barak would write it down on the roll of a book. And this became part of the Bible. This became the Word of God. God was moving holy men of old to write words that were coming forth from His mouth. And it was written on a roll of a book. So, therefore, when we see the hand sent unto me in Ezekiel 2, verse 9, and a roll of a book is therein. It's in the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the Word of God. This is it's representative, it's symbolic of the Bible itself. And we're not surprised at that. Christ, of course, is the Word Himself, and so He comes with a message from God. He comes with revelation from God to Ezekiel. He comes with the little book in His hand, and He's going to give it to Ezekiel to eat it. And that's how God often comes. Now, that it's interesting where it says this roll of a book is found in His hand. And if we turn over to Zechariah 5, that was our scripture reading, we find something similar. We find similar language. And I'll read the first four verses of Zechariah 5. "Then I turned and lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a flying roll." Now, that's the same word, roll, as the roll of a book. "And he said unto me, What seest thou? And I answered, I see a flying roll. The length thereof is 20 cubits, and the breadth thereof 10 cubits. Then said he unto me, This is the curse that goeth forth over the face of the whole earth, for every one that stealeth shall be cut off as on this side according to it, and every one that sweareth shall be cut off as on that side according to it. I will bring it forth, saith the Lord of hosts, and shall enter into the house of the thief, and into the house of him that sweareth falsely by my name, and shall remain in the midst of his house, and shall consume it with the timber thereof, and the stones thereof." Here we find a flying roll, which again, Bob, how about if we make the switch? Let's make the switch to the other mic. I don't know if it's disturbing anyone else, but it's disturbing me. Yeah, sorry about that. Okay. Now let's try it with this. All right. In Zechariah 5, verse 1, a flying roll. Now, the roll we already saw is pointing to the Word of God. And now this is a flying roll, which is very unusual. It's strange that this vision is showing us a roll which represents the Word of God that is flying. We don't find that too often in the Bible. Actually, the only thing that really comes close are a couple of references in the book of Revelation. In Revelation chapter 8 and in verse 13,
It says, "And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, 'Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound.'" So there the angel is flying through the midst of heaven, declaring the word of God. It's declaring woe upon the churches. And also in Revelation 14 and verses 6 and 7, "I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, 'Fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of water.'" So here again, this angel is flying through the midst of heaven, and it's bringing news of judgment on the church. The hour of his judgment is come. It's the time of the great tribulation is in view in both cases, where we find the angel flying with the word of God through the midst of heaven. And in Zechariah 5, we see a flying roll. And this is very similar to what we're seeing in Ezekiel chapter 2, because Ezekiel is involved with a roll. And what is written upon that roll is almost the same thing that we in Ezekiel 2 is what we find in Zechariah 5. For instance, if we turn back there to Zechariah 5, God doesn't give us a detailed description. He doesn't go into depth as to what's written there, but he does say in verse 3, "Then said he unto me, 'This is the curse that goeth forth over the face of the whole earth. For everyone that stealeth shall be cut off as on this side according to it, and everyone that sweareth shall be cut off as on that side according to it.'" So we have two sides of the roll. You have one side, everyone who steals is cut off. You have the other side, everyone who swears is cut off. It's a two-sided roll. Just as in Ezekiel chapter 2, in verse 10, "And he spread it before me, and it was written within and without." You see, there's writing within, there's writing without. There's two sides, in other words. "And there was written therein lamentations and mourning and woe." Which another way of saying that would be woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, like the angel flying in the midst of heaven proclaimed in Revelation 8, verse 13. You see, there's a definite correlation. There's a connection between these things. And so there is writing upon this roll that is written within and without. And in Zechariah 5, verse 2, God actually gives us a description of the roll. "I see a flying roll. The length thereof is 20 cubits, and the breadth thereof 10 cubits." So this is a pretty big roll that Zechariah is being shown as it's flying in the heavens, as it's flying above. And this is the word of God that is 20 cubits in length and 10 cubits in breadth. And I think a cubit is about a foot and a half. So you can get the picture. This would definitely be noticeable if you would happen to see this up in the sky. This is something that would stand out. Of course, it's only an image. It's just part of a vision that's being given to Zechariah. But why does God give us the information that the length was 20 cubits and the breadth 10 cubits? How does that help us at all? Well, the only way we can understand this is by recognizing that whenever God speaks of anything in his word, the Bible, there's a spiritual meaning. And that has to do with numbers too. And when God speaks of the number 40, we know that 40 is dealing with a time of testing. Or when he's talking about the number 3, that it has to do with the purpose of God. But what does the number 20 relate to? Well, the number 20 by itself, we don't see too much we don't see too much evidence in the Bible that God is looking at that number in particular. But if we break down that number 20, we find it's made up of 2 times 10. That is the number 20, 2 times 10. And the number 2 does have spiritual meaning. It relates to the church. It is a number that involves the churches and congregations of the world. And the number 10 has to do with completeness of whatever is in view. And I use the example a lot of the verse in the Psalms that says, God owns the cattle upon 1,000 hills. Is it only 1,000 hills that God owns the cattle? No, the number 1,000 is it's a variable of 10, 100, 1,000. They're all used in a similar way. They're all variables of 10. And so God owns the completeness of all the cattle upon all the hills. He owns everything. He is God. And here the number 10, as we find it, 2 times 10 would be the completeness of the church is in view. And that's underscored by the breadth of the roll is 10 cubits. So in the number 20, we find it's the completeness of the church. And then the fact that it's 10 cubits in breadth also emphasizes that it's focusing on the complete. This is a declaration from God that's going forth to all the churches in the world, is what's in view by God giving us the information that this flying roll is 20 cubits in length and 10 cubits in breadth. Otherwise, I have no idea what that means. Most people are many theologians, when they come to the Bible, they just think that God places information there as filler. He just puts detailed information about the size of the roll and the length of the roll, just for an interesting tidbit for someone to look at. But we have to recognize that everything that God has written in His Word has a spiritual meaning. And so this flying roll, this Word of God, as it's being brought forth and declared from heaven to the earth, is a declaration of God to the churches, to all the churches during the time of the Great Tribulation. And what is it? We saw already, this is the curse that goeth forth in verse 3 over the face of the whole earth. You see, we use the number 10, and we gathered that God is speaking of the completeness of all the churches. And in the following verse, He verifies this by letting us know this is the curse that's going forth to all the earth. The completeness of all the churches and congregations in the world are in view. And this is the judgment of God that is being sent forth to each church that is in the world, regardless of what country they might be in. For everyone that stealeth shall be cut off as on this side, according to it, and everyone that sweareth shall be cut off as on that side, according to it. Now, why is this roll have 2 sides? Why does God speak of things written within and without in Lamentations 2:10, in Ezekiel 2:10? And here there are those being cut off that steal on one side and those being cut off that swear falsely on the other side. Well, the reason is we can find in Hebrews chapter 4 and in verse 12. For the word of God is quick, and that's an old English word that means alive, and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. See, this flying roll is the word of God. It's in the hand of the mighty angel, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is a two-edged sword. But normally the word of God cuts. In one hand, it can cut and bring judgment. It can condemn an individual who rejects the word of God. It can condemn it can bring judgment and condemnation upon those that hear it, that God is not saving. But on the other hand, the Word of God has the ability to cut to salvation, to create a new heart and a new spirit. It's a two-edged sword. But the problem is, now we've entered the time of great tribulation. We've come to the point where God's judgment is upon the churches. He is sending forth His Word. We saw that as Ezekiel was commanded to stand upon his feet. And the command of God was to go to the house of Israel, to that rebellious nation, to pronounce the judgment of God against them. And so Ezekiel is to take this word. Zechariah saw the vision really dealing with the same thing. And the gospel, or the declaration of God to the churches, is still two-sided. It still is the word of God. Still has two edges that cut. But notice now that whether you're cut with one side or the other, you're cut for judgment. There's no grace of God. There's no mercy of God. There's no blessing of God in view at all, because the judgment has begun upon the churches. And so within and without is lamentations, mourning, and woe. Or within and without, you're being cut off on this side or cut off on that side. You see, there's no salvation possible for anyone who's remaining in the church. And this flying roll is a declaration of that. God is saying to those that remain in the church that they are under His judgment, that there will be no salvation possible for any one of them. And this is the sad and terrible news. This is why it is lamentations, mourning, and woe, because there is no good news to any that are in the churches. There's no mercy of God for them, except that they would come out and that they would enter into a place where they could be in a situation where God might bless His Word. All right, let's go back to Zechariah 5 and look at verse 4. It says, I will bring it forth, that flying roll, saith the Lord of hosts, and it shall enter into the house of the thief. Now, where's the house of the thief? Remember what Jesus said in John chapter 10? I am the door. I am the door. Let's look at that real quick. In John 10, and verse 1 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door, and Jesus is that door, into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. Anyone who doesn't go through the door, if you don't go through Christ, if you're not saved, in other words, where He is the way, the truth, and the life, you must go through Him to get to the Father. Anyone who wants to be associated with the gospel and profess the name of Christ and be called a Christian, but you don't go through Christ, where you've not become truly saved, well, it's like you're a thief and you're sneaking up some other way. You've snuck into the householder's house. And that is how God views all the unsaved that are in the churches. And that's why in Zechariah 5, this flying roll is going to enter into the house of the thief. It's going to enter into the churches and congregations where there are so many, there are multitudes today that say, Lord, Lord. They profess the name of God, and yet they are not truly born again. And this word, this declaration of God will cut them off. And then it goes on to say, and this flying roll will enter into the house of him that sweareth falsely by my name. Now, we really get a very good idea of what's in view there in Jeremiah 5 and the first two verses of Jeremiah chapter 5. It says in verse 1, run ye to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem, and see now and know, and seek in the broad places thereof, if ye can find a man, if there be any that executeth judgment, that seeketh the truth, and I will pardon it. And though they say the Lord liveth, surely they swear falsely. That's what it is to swear falsely. They say the Lord liveth. Well, it can't be talking about the person of God himself. Of course God lives. He is the everlasting God. He is the great I am. He lives. God is the living God. But what they're swearing is that God is amongst us. God is in our midst. The living God is in the midst of the churches and congregations. Well, this is what they are swearing to. And God is saying, surely they swear falsely, that he was no longer in the midst of Jerusalem or Judah, and that relates to the time of great tribulation when the Holy Spirit comes out of the midst, as we read in 2 Thessalonians 2. And yet, if you were to ask any pastor today, well, is the Spirit of God in this place? Is the Spirit of Christ in this church? Why, of course he is. Regardless, I mean, you could even ask a liberal church or a church that adds or subtracts to the Word of God. You can ask anyone out there, and they would make that declaration. They would say, God's Spirit is here. The Spirit of God is here. And they're swearing falsely because God left long ago churches that added or subtracted to the Word of God that became other gospels. And now he has left out of the midst of all the churches, because it's the time of judgment. And so now any congregation that makes that claim is swearing falsely. And that's what God is getting at in Zechariah 5, as this flying roll is going into the midst of the house, and into the midst of the house of the thief, and into the house of him that sweareth falsely by my name. And it shall remain in the midst of his house, and shall consume it with the timber thereof and the stones thereof. See, it's the destruction of the church. That's the house of God, where judgment begins at the house of God. God has sent forth his word, and it has brought desolation to the church. Now let's go back to Ezekiel 2, and we're going to try and get through the rest of Ezekiel 2 into Ezekiel 3. Today, and finish this look at standing on our feet during the time of great tribulation. And we see here in Ezekiel 2:10, he spread it before me, and it was written within and without, and it was written therein lamentations and mourning and woe. Then in chapter 3, verse 1, moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, eat that thou findest, eat this roll, and go speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll. And he said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then did I eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. Why honey? Well, honey, we really have no problem with that, because honey represents the Word of God. In Psalm 119, and verse 103, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. See, so this roll of a book in the Lord Jesus Christ's hand, he's handing it to Ezekiel, and he's saying, eat this. And he takes the book, the little book, and he eats it up. And it's as honey in his mouth, because it is the Word of God. And every part of the Word of God is sweet. We have to recognize that, and I think every believer would admit to that. The whole Bible is as honey to us, isn't it? Because we love the Word of God, and we live by the Word of God, and so we would not say that any part of the Word of God is something we don't want to read, that we don't want to declare, that we don't want to share with others. It's all like honey for sweetness, even though we're talking about parts of the Word of God that speak about a man's sinfulness and that he's going to end up in hell. Or we're talking about parts of the Bible that have to do with God's judgment on the church. You see, it's all honey. It's all sweet to our taste. We love every word of it. But if we go back to Revelation 10, in Revelation 10, verse 9, "And I went unto the angel and said unto him, Give me the little book. And he said unto me, Take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey." See, it's the same thing as we find in Ezekiel 2, except God adds a little extra detail. It'll make thy belly bitter. See, it's going to be sweet as honey as your mouth. We find that same information. But in your belly, it's kind of like your belly is going to turn sour a little bit, what you're going to eat, because this has to do with mourning, lamentations, and woe. It has to do with the time.